With all these people, you see, they come here and tell you about their spiritual experiences, and what do they expect? They want me to pat on their backs and tell them, you are doing all right, do more and more of the same, and you will reach your destination goal. I can't do that example.
No, it can be, not necessarily, it can be the other way also. Suppose I have some experiences and I have attached importance, but I learn from a man who is really speaking out of his own experiences, as various other sciences also. But that is not the one to be given importance to. You go ahead in this way.
And
that
also,
helps.
And also the emphasis has to be made,
yeah,
that particular experience which you consider,
yeah,
to be something extraordinary
is not
is totally unrelated, yeah, to the final thing you are after.
Yeah. If that is made known, it has helped. Yeah. Maybe the man has saved some years of sadhana, frustrated one afterwards. To that extent, it really helps.
This is very difficult to understand. I always give the example of these tremors, earthquake tremors. So that does not mean that one day there will be an earthquake. If an earthquake hits you, the damage will be so great that these tremors have nothing to do with that at all. The earthquake hits somewhere else, not where you expect that thing to happen.
The internal adjustments only has caused tremors elsewhere.
Tremors elsewhere. But the actual earthquake is going to hit somewhere else. So when this kind of a thunderbolt hits you, you will find out that all the other tremors you have been experiencing during your what you call sadhana are totally, in fact, no way connected to it. This is very difficult. So that is why very often everybody who is doing sadhana asks me this question, how do you know that what you did, all the sadhana you did, is not responsible for where you are today? I can say that now.
It's a beautiful analogy.
Yes.
But it may be the other way also. Certain things we know in the positive way. That is, you must do like this. Certain things we know should not do like this. So in this way also it comes. Therefore,
not in any way related to this analogy. Not a whiff of it, you see, you know. So then you see the whole business of sadhana collapses. Because the sadhana is always related to the goal you have fixed for yourself. It's very difficult to make people understand the absurdity of the whole sadhana business. As I was telling him yesterday, as a matter of fact, what is going on here is the sadhana, because I am blocking every escape door, every, and not even leaving. He said, why don't you leave at least one ventilator? He said, even that has to be blocked. Put you in a corner like a cat in the bay, or what is the expression? Yes. Cat at bay.
Yes.
You must be choked, you see, choked to death as it were.
That is the one that ultimately causes the triggers.
And that only a teacher, a real teacher, can, you see, tell you and point out that, you see, nobody else. Nobody else should talk about it. Not that I claim I am a teacher or any scientist, don't get me wrong. Not those people who interpret texts and Quran. Nothing, you see, it's totally unrelated. Only such a man can talk. And such a man will never encourage any kind of sadhana, because he knows that sadhana is not going to be there.
I think to understand that also, this person must have attained a certain wavelength.
Listen, there is one thing I want to emphasize. If this kind of a thing is to happen to anybody, he will not need the help of anybody, and that thing will happen in spite of everything he does. In spite of everything, but whatever he is doing, is blocking that, blocking the possibility of that happening. See, to put it that way is very misleading, because there is in the end nothing to happen. You see? Nothing to happen. This is a paradox, contradiction, he says. You know, it is not a contradiction.
No, you see, even the other way, it actually has a meaning. Suppose I have a certain mechanism or working thing, you see, where you feed information and whatnot, it is running a certain course of action. And if I don't know and don't allow it, put some my finger in that, the whole thing is disturbed. Because if it is happening in spite of me and I don't know it's working.
Because you don't realize that whatever you are doing is a self-centered activity. Whatever you are doing on any level, in any direction, is only strengthening the very thing which you want to be free from.
That perspective distorts the whole
thing. Distorts the whole thing. So all sadhana is a self-centered activity. It is very difficult to understand that.
Especially those who are trained in this drawing, engineering drawing perspective.
Yes.
You see, how from the, depending on the angle, what is regular form appears as an irregular form. See, and once the perspective point or the viewpoint is changed, even from the XY coordinate also the Z coordinate, the whole thing changes.
It's because the instrument which you are using is born in the field of cause and effect.
Yes.
So it cannot conceive of the possibility of any happening outside the field of cause and effect. So your interest is only to find out the cause, how it happened to a particular individual, so that you can make it happen in your case. That's why that is not the instrument and there is no other instrument. So this is a causal. It's
working backward from the effect.
It's a quantum jump, you know. It jumps from here to there. See. So you cannot link up these two things. Anything I say will not please you because I say you and I are sitting on the same bank of the river. You put me on the other side of the bank and you want to cross over and the boat you have, however extraordinary it may be, is a leaky boat and you will sink. You know? That's all. Because there is no other bank, there is no river to cross. So it's very difficult to understand that. So you have created the image and put the image on the other side. I say, no, for goodness sake, you and I are sitting on the same bank. There is no river, no river to cross, so there is no need for any boat to cross. And no boatman is necessary.
Someone else gave an analogy of the fish swimming in the water. And in each individual, each life is swimming in the cosmos motion. It is happening as a natural thing and we are not aware of it and we take it.
So that is why I say nobody can guide you at all. So there are no guidelines. Because this man himself does not know the terrain. If I knew, I would be able to guide you along. No guidebooks. Nobody has explored this before. So he cannot give you any guidelines. He cannot lead you at all, anywhere. It's not that I am against Guru, sir. I don't know. It's not that at all. He knows that you see. His books to say that that is not the Guru. But sir, you quoted some verse this morning. From the Sutra Bhashya. What is that? You are not confirming anything. Yes, you did, sir.
Quote it again. Can you please quote it again, sir?
Can't.
No, you can.
No, he doesn't want to do it in the, you know, he doesn't want to do it in the presence of all these people because that
secret knowledge,
the very thing that I am saying.
He is not telling.
No, not that. That Sanskrit verse confirms exactly what I am saying.
He has confirmed it many more times.
No, he will never do it in the presence of others. Come on, sir.
No effort, na shastrena, na balena, na virya, na va, sambhava. Dhanavagam Swami Dhanavagam. See this text in recognition. It's a Sarsic text. Or by your efforts, balance. Virya means your capacity.
Courage.
Anything in this sort will help you for that. Only if it desires that it should happen, only it will happen.
So that does not mean it is some sort of a mystery. The Upanishad says, whomsoever it chooses.
Yes.
You see, that is the Upanishad. What
it
is
chooses.
Whomsoever it chooses.
To him it happens.
To him it happens. That does not mean that there is any power outside of you. You see. And it chooses because you are the deserving man and nobody else is. It is not in that. I am not interpreting the text. I don't know what it says. I don't care. You see, that potential is there already. So it has to, you see, tick, you see, the capacity to explore is there, you see, in you, because if through some strange chance, if through some luck, it clicks, that thought remains without splitting itself into two. So anything you do, any effort you make, means that you are splitting that thought into two. After all, it is thought is a vibration, it's matter. See, thought is matter because it is that that gives substance and materiality to the things. So, the life is energies. So it is all the time trying to convert itself into energy. In the pile analysis, there is neither matter nor energy. They are interchangeable. But when the thought takes its birth there, it is matter. But in its very nature, it splits itself into two. If through some luck or some strange chance, it remains
without splitting itself
into two, something has got to happen to that, you see. And there it explodes. This is an atom. You see, it's an atomic explosion. Because it's not one atom, but trillions of atoms are there in the human organism. It is an electromagnetic field. When it explodes, it blasts everything that is there.
Sets the chain reaction.
Chain reaction, one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. So every cell, you see, is involved in that. It's not so easy that you see through some magic power of somebody or the touch of somebody or this doing something or repeating some mantra or standing in your head, this kind of a thing. You are not going to, you can't make it happen at all. It is obvious. But yet, you see, the possibility of that kind of a thing happening in everybody is 1000%. 1000%. Not that I am placing a carrot before you, but because that is its nature. So that is the reason why it happens to one in a billion. One in a billion. And why it happens to that individual and not to me, you see. That means you ain't got a chance. Why not me? Why not that happen to me? You ain't got a chance. You see?
Because provided such conditions are created at the right moment,
at the right moment, you see,
then it happens.
That has no cause. That's all that I'm saying.
On its own, it
has no cause. So it is a causal, because I cannot tell you how this happened. There is no how there. That is the reason why I use the word acausal. It has no cause. And that is exactly the reason why I say it cannot be reproduced. Reproducing a copy has no value at all. See, that is why it cannot be reproduced. So no teacher has reproduced another teacher like him. That is history, not my personal opinion. No teacher. Buddha has left behind only Buddhus, not another Buddha. Useless fellows. Bunch of useless fellows. Repeating that nonsense. No teacher has reproduced another teacher like him. Followers he can have. So, that is something which cannot be reproduced, because in nature, the nature does not use anything as a model. It is trying to perfect everything and then throw it out. And there is another thing is, The other thing is that to believe that all that you are doing to purify yourself has no meaning at all, because that purificatory thing is not going to help you at all. It can make you into a saint, but not touch the other thing. as I was saying, this is also a scientific fact which they have observed. This mutation, if you want to use the word, I have no objection, can and will take place only in the degenerate species, not the perfected species. Because it's going to throw out something unique which has not been produced before.
Freak.
It's a freak. It's a biological freak. Why nature is throwing out this freak from time to time, nobody can give any answer. It's a freak, you see. It's a biological freak. So that always happens in the case of degenerate species. That's all your morality, all your denials, practicing this, that and the other has no meaning at all. It can produce a saint. A saint is a second class, third class, lost rate person as far as this is concerned. It has no place in the scheme of things. The sage is quite different. That is why the seers of the Upanishads never talked of any morality, never talked of any sadhana, never talked of doing anything. Whereas the saints have always emphasized this, you must purify your body, do this, do that. Nothing is necessary for this kind of a thing. If this kind of a thing is to, it will happen in spite of all those things. And I maintain that it is genetically fixed, you see, only such a man, and in such a man, this kind of a thing happens, and nothing that you do can make this kind of a thing happen. Good man, what is a good man good for? Good man is useful for the society, and for the bad man to exploit the good man. That's all he is worth.
So you mean to say that it is not necessary or not admissible for any person to aspire for that?
No, the aspiration is part of your consciousness. See? So that has to come to an end first. There is nothing that you can do to stop it. You, in other words, you cannot but do sadhana. You are doomed that way. Even if you drop sadhana, even that, you see, creates a struggle in you. You will replace it with another kind of a sadhana. The Krishnamurti's gimmicks, you see, just be aware, choiceless awareness. You begin to practice those things, the gimmicks. They are all worthless. The same old nonsense. The words are different, but the game is exactly the same. You cannot but do.
No, you can also be in such a way that...
But somewhere along the line, this realization that that is not the thing has to dawn upon you.
When that happens, yes, then we remain in a natural way. We just
that
allow
cannot,
things to go
that,
as it is.
That cannot
thinking.
Happen as long as you have a hope that all these things, your experiences, are worthless.